Hey everybody, welcome to another episode of the Avid Gamer Podcast. It's been a while since I've recorded one of these, so if you're still listening, if you listen to the other ones and you're listening to this, thank you so much. Thank you so much. And if I sound hoarse, here's why. I've been running in the morning, and I think the cold air, because right now it's October, it's been screwing with my voice. So if I'm a little hoarse, I apologize. Hopefully you can make it through and bear with me. But today I've got a very special guest with me. I've got the lovely and talented Jenny. How are you, Jenny?
I'm doing well. How are you?
I'm doing good. Jenny is easily one of the coolest people in my life, if not the coolest people in my life, person, I should say. We hang out just a shit ton, and we have the best conversations about stuff. And Jenny, you're a nerd. You know this, right?
I know. Okay. A yoga nerd, maybe.
A yoga nerd?
Something like that, right?
Yeah, you cross, your nerdism crosses over into other stuff because we've gone places before that I'm nerdy about. Like today's topic is going to be about comic book superheroes. Right. But we've gone to comic book stores and you've instantly like melded into the nerd, comic nerd. I mean, this is how you are when you're a geek. You can just assimilate into other geeky cultures so easily, and I think you do that.
Yeah, I mean, I just think it's so fascinating to see the parallels and everything, you know?
There's
so much psychology involved in, you know, comic book heroes and just this whole superhero phenomenon. It's just amazing how, you know, they pull in the human nature and the, you know, desire to make a big global change, which I feel a good amount of people can resonate with, but I believe that, you know, desire for to have faith in something greater is something that we all relate to, and trying to be part of that benevolence, you know, that changes the world. I think that's what draws in a lot of people.
And then you have the negative side when you have super villains.
Right.
Yeah.
Right. We all have to deal with our dark forces.
And which shirt am I wearing now? Can you name all the characters on this shirt?
Nope.
All right, I got a shirt.
This is the enemy shirt.
Yeah, I've got a shirt on now, which maybe I'll take a picture of. And this is my chick getting shirt. Not so much. It's got Galactus and Thanos and Dr. Doom and Magneto on it. I don't know. But the opposite of what you just described is the supervillain.
Right.
Right. So, but I want to talk about superheroes today, and I guess I've talked about comic books like a ton on this podcast, but I've been a comic collector, a comic reader, and a comic collector since, gosh knows, 1983?
Ooh, I was not even born.
You were not even born. I'm a little bit older than you. yeah, I started out reading, like, and these are titles that maybe comic nerds, maybe listening will know, maybe you won't, but like, Captain Carrot and the Zoo Crew, when it was like the Justice League, but with animals. It was very funny.
And that's awesome.
Yeah, and I started reading that, and then I graduated to like Batman, which I'm still on now, and Superman, and X-Men, and Wolverine. And there was just years and years and years where I was just a hardcore comic nerd until one day I had to sell a good bulk of my collection. And I was so sad.
That sucks.
It sucks.
Years.
It was years of hard work. Here's the funny thing. I used to have this dream. This is no shit. I used to have this dream where, almost like The Incredible Journey, where like the dog and the cat that parents leave in like Minnesota and it robs in California at the door. I dreamed that somebody would ring my doorbell. Mm-hmm. I would go to the door and there would be my long boxes of comics. Aww. Like, I was like, oh, you came home to me. Right. You know, I used to have that dream. Yeah. And
it's heartbreaking.
It is heartbreaking. And because like I'm just kind of like an encyclopedia with comic books.
Yeah, you are.
Yeah, it's almost like I couldn't talk about it because it's like having this knowledge that I couldn't do anything with.
Yeah.
So a while ago, a couple years ago, I started collecting comics again. I went to a comic store and it started like this. It's like, you know what? I'm just going to just start reading Batman graphic novels again. Mm-hmm. All right.
Was it kind of hard at first?
Well, like a day later, I'm like, I'm just going to read the Batman titles. Uh-huh. So I went to the comic store and I picked up all the Batman titles and I was like, well, I'll just start reading the Superman titles and then the Spider-Man, Wolverine. And now I'm full on like an addict with comics. I mean, you've seen me go in there and be like, oh, I need this one. You know, while you're manhandling a comic in front of the comic store nerds who are just like aghast. But if you weren't so pretty, they would freak out. But if I did that, they would be like, oh my God, you crinkle the spine of the comic.
Yeah, there's definitely a comic book etiquette.
And I've tried to teach you.
I've learned a bit.
You've learned it kind of. You're getting there. But so I got back into the comic thing, and now my comic collection is just raging. Mm. And I've gotten pretty much everything back that I used to have.
Really?
Yeah, and more, and like much better stuff. Now that I can afford anything I want, you know, or all the comics I want, I've gotten the good stuff.
So about how many years did it take?
To get back to where I was, just a year.
Oh.
Because it was like, you know, I guess it's like AA when they say that you have that first drink and then you just become an alcoholic again. Yeah, I was just a raging comic nerd after like a year. I had everything back that I wanted, and it was all organized and they're alphabetized in long boxes. Mm-hmm. Yeah, so that's if you awesome. Come into like my man cave or in my house period, it smells like a comic store.
Hmm.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
That's you.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
That's awesome.
That is awesome. That's good. Think so.
So who's your favorite superhero?
Batman.
Yeah?
I'm such a Batman dork. And I know everybody's a Batman dork because of the movies, but I was a Batman freak since like the mid-80s. You know, and then Michael Keaton came along, and Tim Burton did the Batman 88. I think you weren't even born at that point. Like 88, 89. You were just a little zygote.
Yeah.
You know, and I was like 10, and like, oh my God, I want to be Batman. And here I am, all these years later, going, oh my God, I want to be Batman.
Yeah.
So, you know, but I still love Wolverine, and I still love Spider-Man. All these are like my brothers.
Right.
Yeah, but I think Batman. At the end of the day, if I could be anybody, it'd be Batman because I've already got the personal demons and the crazy psychosis. I just don't have the billions of dollars.
Right. Yeah.
So.
Yeah, it's the constant drive to kind of surpass and grow from, you know, a broken childhood that drives some people. You know, you kind of see people split off into two paths, maybe sometimes for the worse, and other times to be totally selfless because they have reached such a rock bottom point where they feel that they're already broken in a sense, where they just see nowhere to go but up and try to make the best of their life, which is a beautiful, wonderful thing that I think, you know, we all aspire to do if we can, you know, relate to his childhood and everything, all the traumas.
Right. And that's where we're going to start this conversation about just the psychology of a superhero. Mm-hmm. We're going to start with Batman. Batman watched his parents be murdered in a back alley by a gunman.
Crazy.
Mm-hmm. You know, he just watched them get gunned down in cold blood. His very rich, very affluent, they were, you know, by all accounts in the comic books, they were just wonderful people. Thomas Wayne was a man who just, I mean, he was a billionaire or a millionaire at that point. This is the 30s. But he helped so many people. He was so generous that he helped so many people. And to see him gunned down, Batman or Bruce Wayne, at this point, little Bruce Wayne, that never left him. That never left him. You know, he was raised by his butler, Alfred, and he was raised in Wayne Manor, and he had anything he wanted, a great education, but all he wanted in life was to drive himself to be a symbol for the hopeless, for the downtrodden, and to take crime off the streets and give the people of Gotham safe streets.
Right.
So where do you think that comes from?
I think that comes from, you know, when you're a child and you experience something so emotionally and psychologically just so destructive, you know?
Yeah.
I mean, I look at the emotional body and the psychology of the mind kind of as like a rubber band sometimes.
Yeah.
So when it's been stretched a certain length, you kind of can't, it doesn't instantly retract back.
That elasticity is gone.
Right, exactly. Yeah, because it's like a traumatic force, like bam, like that rubber band is broken, you know? And I just feel that, again, that's when you kind of see people go into two different ways. Are you going to allow that trauma to fester as anger and pure resentment for everything around you, all humanity, or are you going to see things from more of a bird's eye view, which I believe is more of the clear, wise route,
right?
When you're able to still retain some faith in something greater where you can align yourself to a mission to be like, okay, this screwed up stuff happened to me, and I understand and have the wisdom to discern that this isn't what the entire world is.
Yeah.
It's something that happened to me, and he had the wisdom to grow from it versus allowing it to totally destroy him. And yes, I mean, he's
it's destroyed him to a point, but he's grown so much from it as a superhero.
Exactly. And he's, you know, you see him being plagued by his shadows, but you see that he's always able to kind of just rise above of it. And and the thing about superheroes is that they have this innate awareness to tap into what's going on. I mean, they just have this, you know, very wise power. And I've been reading this book by Deepak Chopra. It's awesome. He breaks it down into...
What's the name of the book?
It's called The 7 Spiritual Laws of Superheroes, Harnessing Our Power to Change the World. I love it. It's amazing. He talks about how his son, Gotham, ironically, it's
so perfect funny. Name.
Right. Like, how perfect
is all
I love
that name.
This?
I'm going to change my son's name to
you
Gotham.
You should.
Yeah.
I could definitely see you doing that. But it's just awesome because he, you know, being from, you know, India and having, growing up with the Indian, I guess, folklore, well, you know, maybe it's not always.
Maybe it's religion.
It is religion, but he, since he, I believe, is more of like into the Christ consciousness or Christian, I think he kind of refers to it as, you know, I mean, he just draws parallels from, you know, Hinduism, the tales in that, or the stories, sorry, in Hinduism, as well as Greek mythology and, you know, Christian texts and stories, and he ties it in with superheroes. And he, his son, I believe he started a comic book series called Liquid Comics, I believe.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. I think it's just now starting to take off. I don't know if it's...
it's really young.
Young. You can Google it and find out information, because once we talked about it, I found it online.
Yeah. So it's awesome. He just draws in a whole bunch of parallels, and he breaks it down into, you know, more of a psychological, spiritual psychological standpoint, where he says, okay, superheroes have this amazing ability to harness, you know, this source, you know, which, you know, me being really into yoga and, you know, you being into martial arts, I believe we have this affinity to exploring, you know, okay, the source of the universe or whatever, whatever that is, prana or, you know, chi, whatever. But anyways, he talks about their amazing ability to harness that. And he says that there's like the law of balance, which all superheroes have, and then the law of transformation, law of power, law of love, law of creativity, law of intention, and law of transcendence. And that they have, you know, they've mastered this, and they still fall victim, you know, even though they're superheroes, they still fall victim to shadows or enemies or dark forces.
Definitely, definitely. I think, you know, if you have something majorly traumatic, like seeing your parents die, you know, as a young boy, and if you look at Batman, he can... And there's people like this, too. There's people that survive rape and incest and war. And the littlest thing can put them right back into the moment where they're feeling that trauma. They can feel it over, over, and over again, like it's actually happening. Mm-hmm. You know? And I think if you have everything at your disposal and the will to want to end the cycle of violence, and you can feel that pain again that you felt as a child, you're going to build off of that, and you're going to become, well, you're going to become Batman. In his case, you become Batman. Mm-hmm. You know, so I think you're right. I mean, you can always kind of just go back to that source. You go back to that moment where you see somebody shoot your parents, and then, holy shit, it's 20 years later, and you're a martial arts master, and a master, you know, you train with the League of Assassins, and all the nerds listening are like, yeah, you know what I'm talking about here, guys. And, you know, you train under Ra's al Ghul, and you know that this is your city, and you're going to clean it up? Fuck yeah. Mm-hmm. You're going to. That's why I love Batman so much, is that one single event took him from being what might have just been a life of just sleeping with every rich starlet in Gotham, to beating up every violent criminal. You know? Mm. I love that.
It's beautiful.
It's a beautiful thing, right?
It is. It
now, let's talk about it. Let's talk about another one. All right? Let's talk about, who's the next on our list of superheroes to talk about? There's so many of them. Let's talk about Superman.
Okay.
Now,
he's not of the world.
Huh?
He's not of the world.
No, and here's what's interesting about Superman to me. This is psychology of Superman to me. It's like Superman, he's not of this world. But he's so destined to protect this world, you know, of someplace he's not from. His home world is gone. Mm-hmm. He could be, and we know Kryptonians, you've seen Man of Steel. Mm-hmm. You know, there was evil Kryptonians. Mm-hmm. What stopped Superman from being the screw this planet? You know, I'm going to take over this planet. What made him say, I'm going to be the protector of this planet?
It's this innate sense of duty. And that's what I feel all superheroes have, this inherent, you know, thing about them where they know, okay, this is not a job. It's not, they don't even see it as like, oh, like a grueling responsibility. They see it as a duty that they wholeheartedly take on.
Yeah, they're not getting a paycheck for it. You're right. Right,
exactly. They don't take it lightly. They want to, because they have this pure essence within them that they just want to make the world a better place, you know? And it's just an amazing thing.
It is. And you're right. Here's what the amazing thing is to me, though. Our human nature, as right now, if America, which is like the Superman country, honestly, I mean, we're the protectors of the world sometimes, it seems. Mm-hmm. We have to debate whether to go into another country and impose our brand of justice. Mm-hmm. And it really, just like this incident with the incident with Syria, it divides people, okay? Mm-hmm. But Superman comes to Earth and says, hey, I've got this set of morality. Forget that he was raised in Kansas. Mm-hmm. He was raised in Kansas, you know,
yeah,
by the Kents. Doesn't matter. So essentially, he's got an American sense of justice. Mm-hmm. After all, if you look at the way Superman was drawn in the 30s, he's got like a flag, American flag waved behind him, an eagle, you know.
Super patriotic.
Super patriotic. Sure. And, you know, in very much like a symbol of America, like apple pie, Superman, mm-hmm, baseball, and what else? I don't even know what it goes on in my country. But it's okay for him to come and put his brand of morals, which is the American morals, basically, on the world. Mm-hmm. And nobody complains. But if this happened in real life, just like America with Syria, or any other time we look at other countries and have to debate whether to go in and stop a genocide, mm-hmm, we're told, whoa, 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 who are you to enforce your will?
Right.
So why is it okay for Superman to be that way on his ideals, but it's not okay for a government and a committee of people to come together? What's the difference?
Well, you know, I always hear about the parallels between Jesus and Superman a lot. Because it's, you know, it's a savior, he's not human, you know, in Christianity. Okay, Jesus is the Son of God. Superman is not of this world.
That's
you
right.
Know? So I think
Superman was killed by Doomsday and he came back a little while later. Just putting that out there. Go ahead. Just got to put that out there. Superman rose from the dead. So go ahead.
Right, exactly. Mm-hmm. That resurrection and the transformation there, you know, of rising above of it. And, you know, persecution and all that is a common theme. And, you know, no matter who you are, or what you experience, I think everyone feels persecuted in some sense.
Yeah.
And we all want, you know, to have that, I don't know, saving grace in our life, whatever it is. And that's why I believe, you know, what Lois Lane wrote that article, you know, do we really need Superman? Do we need to have faith in him?
Yeah.
Because we live in such a cynical world, I believe, that, you know, sometimes we need to have a physical manifestation or a visual image in our minds or just present around us to actually have, you know, tangible faith. But I don't think you can have a tangible faith. You know, it's just like they need something tangible to have faith in, when I think that's kind of a big lesson in, you know, Superman.
Right. So Superman's like a god.
Right.
Superman's like God. Mm-hmm. He can hear, scream. He can hear, almost like a prayer. Mm-hmm. Like in any sort of religion, there's a god that we can pray to that hears our prayers.
Right.
He can get to us immediately. He can save us from danger. That's Superman, essentially.
Mm-hmm.
You know, it just so happens Superman wears a cape, mm-hmm, and some tights.
Mm-hmm. And he's pretty hot.
And pretty hot. You know, exactly. So, I guess in essence, Superman would be considered God. So maybe, mm-hmm, maybe in the DC Comics world, Superman is considered God. And he's very optimistic. Mm-hmm. If you look at Superman, he's the ultimate Boy Scout, where Batman's very brooding.
Right.
He's very brooding, and he's very cold and calculated. Superman uses a lot of emotion, mm-hmm. you know. Superman uses yeah. a lot of emotion, you know. Yeah. He's kind of emotionally driven.
You think so? Well,
I think so.
Yeah, I think, I mean, Superman definitely has a very sunny disposition, for yeah. sure. And that appeals to a wider audience, because he puts, you know, it's more of the charisma,
yeah.
I think, you know. And then Batman seems to be kind of driven, yeah, by his shadows. But I feel like that those are deep wounds, deep emotional wounds
right.
as well.
Well, it almost seems like Batman is fulfilling something within himself by protecting people.
Right.
Where Superman is being just this creature of benevolence who's just, or this alien of benevolence who says, I'm going to, you know, save you.
Right.
You know?
Yeah, because I don't see him being... his emotional needle does not waver too much, you know? That's
yeah.
awesome. And I think that's why we, you know, refer or draw in parallels to God and him
yeah.
because God is, you know, maybe, I guess, consistent in being strong.
Right.
Always.
And well, if you want to do the right thing in life, the right thing by everybody, you can't have a needle that's constantly
right.
moving around.
Mm-hmm.
It's fun. To a point, but you can't have a needle that's constantly in the negative
mm-hmm.
or in the positive.
Sure. Yeah.
You need that balance.
And
I think
that's the law of balance.
That's
right
the
there.
Law of balance right there.
Yeah.
See, this is amazing. I like this.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, let's move on to another. Now, recently I bought you a comic book, a number one, issue number one. What did I buy you?
Flash.
The Flash. Flash is always, all the DC care. I love DC and Marvel. But I've always loved the Flash.
Mm-hmm.
Maybe it's the red suit. Maybe it's he's just a regular dude. Barry Allen is his alter ego. He's a police scientist.
Mm-hmm.
And Barry Allen had an accident. He acquired his powers by accident. And what happened to him was, in the old stories, some chemicals fell on him in a lab, and he became the Flash. All of a sudden, he can, you know, he uses the Speed Force. To move through objects, he can vibrate through objects, but whatever, he's the Flash. What do you think people that like acquire their powers by accident? They're not born into their powers. They didn't go out like Batman went out and just studied his ass off to be a great fighter, a great detective. But you have Barry Allen who just by sheer happenstance becomes the Flash. Okay, in that situation, Jen, if you wake up in the morning, you go in, and you're like, wow, it's raining out there. I don't want to go to work. And you walk to like your mirror in your bathroom, and you got your hair products up.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm sure it's a lot of Barry this and Barry that. I don't mean Barry Allen. I mean like Berry. It's a lot of like very natural, you know, because I know Jen. I know she's very all natural and everything, you know. And all of that, something struck your bathroom, and all this fell on you. All of a sudden, you can control the weather,
mm-hmm.
or you can control nature. Are you going to use that as a superpower, or are you going to just be like, well, shit, I still got my bills to pay. I'm going to focus on my job, my career.
Right.
What are you going to do?
That's a tough question, but I think the most important thing there is to, no matter what route you go about it, whether you keep the day job or not, is
yeah.
to learn how to harness your power and know how to control it. You know, you've got to be in control of it. And I think that's something that a lot of superheroes battle with is
right.
really handling their power. And, you know, then you see like parallels there into anime and things like that, like, you know, controlling the demon within them or you
right.
know, the dark energy or something that,
yeah.
you know, like Naruto, you know, he had this almost beast, you know, the nine-tailed fox or whatever,
mm-hmm.
you know, the beast inside of him that he had to control. And so you see that, you know, people who want to help the world. And I mean, in the situation that you asked me, yeah, that's a good question. You could go both ways.
You could
see people wanting to be like, oh my gosh, you know, I can do anything I want with this, you know, and that's where you see the strong division
right.
between, you know, the intention of people or superheroes. And that is what I believe is what divides the villains from the superheroes.
So in the case of, like, acquiring power, I guess based on what you're saying, it has to be what you are at that moment you get your powers. Like, if you're a good guy, if you're a nice guy, and you're a police scientist like Barry Allen, mm-hmm. or you're, you know, maybe you're somebody who works, you know, for charity, or, you know.
Your true colors come out.
Your true colors come out. Sure. But if you are just some schlub asshole who hates going to work every day,
And you feed off of anger.
You feed off of anger. And you're always like, oh, why does he get the promotion over me?
And
you
just want self gain.
Yeah, then holy shit, you're gonna be using your little speed force to run into a bank and steal, yeah. Right?
Right. Exactly.
So okay, well, see, that answers that. It depends on who you are at that time. It's kind of like modern day lottery winners. Mm-hmm. When now we've seen lottery. You know, just destroying horror families. Stories. Yeah, but it's who that person is at that time. Like, you know, you see, like, the wrong person. Like, this 21-year-old kid who was already slinging drugs and whatever. All of a sudden, he bought the winning lottery ticket. Well, he wasted money, you know, in, like, 2 years. But then you see the people that need it.
Right.
Maybe they're all factory workers that went on for a ticket and they're getting laid off. And these are real scenarios I've seen. I've seen it on TV. You know, and these people know how to hold on to what they have. Right. They can appreciate what comes in their life as a blessing.
Right, and they have this wisdom and this foresight into knowing, okay, well, it's important to, you know, save this money and or distribute it and allocate it appropriately. And then, so, you know, so then you really just see those true colors and intent and wisdom.
Yeah.
And again, like I said earlier, I think wisdom is such an important thing. Yeah. Sure. And it's funny that my friend told me the other day he went on some tours. You know, he's in the military. He came back and he was just suffering PTSD. I mean, that's really what it was.
Yeah.
And I mean, he would just snap on people, you know. Yeah. I mean, he has a strong, you know, fighting background and, you know, he's practically like a sniper or something. Not really, I'm just kidding. But, you know, he's really good with artillery and stuff, but he knew he had this power, and he was just deranged inside because he didn't deal with his emotional traumas, you know. But I mean, he's always been a good guy, so it's just so funny because within these worlds or within the you know, I guess the opposing sides, superheroes and villains, there are a lot of gray areas, and they overlap a lot.
And we're going to get into that on the next guy, because that's a good scenario. Green Lantern.
Yeah.
Okay, listen, if anybody only knows Green Lantern from that shitty Ryan Reynolds movie, there's so much good Green Lantern out there that does not involve that guy. Mm-hmm. But Green Lantern was seen by alien forces, just say alien forces, that decided that he should wear the Green Lantern ring, and he should be a defender of Earth and of, you know, not just Earth, but just like of, you know, the galaxy. Mm-hmm. So, you know, to join the Green Lantern Corps. Mm-hmm. So you're right. He's chosen. He's a really good superhero until Coast City is destroyed. Coast City is destroyed, and he wants to use his ring to reform, to bring everybody back. But he's told no. He's told no. That's an abuse of your power. That's selfish, and that's not what the ring's about. So he kills members of the Green Lantern Corps. Mm-hmm. Kills them. Mm-hmm. You know? So that's almost like that rage inside of you. You can be a good guy, but you get to a moment, and people with PTSD, post-traumatic, PTSD, those are people in life I worry about, because those people, even in their 40s and 50s, then do something crazy violent, and we link it back to that stress. Mm-hmm. I mean, we've seen that so many times. Mm-hmm. So that's a very real thing, just like Green Lantern eventually did after years of being this great guy and hero. Mm-hmm. Eventually, he slaughtered people to get his way, because he could, you know?
Yeah.
Now, I can explain why he did it, and all this stuff, blah, blah, blah. But for survivors of war, it's happened.
Right.
Later in life, their 40s, all of a sudden, they get up and they shoot their children at the dinner table, or their wife, they strangle people.
And then in the media, they're seen as like monsters, but then you really look at the background, and everything that happened to them and what they experienced. It's a psychological problem that they weren't able to, you know, handle.
They weren't able to handle it. There's not a whole lot of treatment for it. There's not a lot of treatment for post-traumatic stress disorder.
Yeah.
Unfortunately, you know, because I think if we were to treat everybody that had it, it would probably go into bankrupt our country. Right. But anyway.
Well, you know, that's why I'm like a big proponent of like meditation. And even, yeah. You know, Deepak was talking about that in his book, how, you know, the retreat phase or, you know, adapting, you know, a retreat type of period regularly is important to be balanced.
Right. But you've got to be consistent on that.
Right, exactly.
Because what happens to me, I explain it like this. If me and you go, because we're in a room right now with the door shut, if that door has no door handle, it can just push it one way or push it the other, and I'm the evil force and you're the good force, you may be able to keep that door closed for a certain amount of time. Eventually, you stop meditating, you stop doing your yoga, you stop doing whatever it is, I'm coming through there.
Mm-hmm.
So you gotta, you know, people that suffer from PTSD, They better get their ass on track. Same thing with superheroes.
Mm-hmm.
It's the same thing with superheroes that have to keep themselves in check. They have to be surrounded by, you know, a Justice League or fellow X-Men, because that demon's coming through.
Mm-hmm.
And that's a great point of like psychology of humans. That's how it is. Your demons are going to come through in case you don't combat them every time.
Right.
Combat them on a consistent basis. And if you don't, if you slip, that's where the problem comes from.
Right.
Same thing with Green Lantern.
Mm-hmm.
He was told no. He didn't have, the Justice League didn't stop him. He fucking slaughtered people to bring back his, you know, to bring back his city.
Right. Yeah.
Anyway.
Yeah.
It's a scary thing. And there's a lot of parallels between real life and
right.
You know.
Yeah, yeah. And so with my friend, he was able to, he actually told me, you know, I saw one example where there was a guy, I believe someone in his unit, who was very hot-headed. It was his attitude and him trying to handle the traumas that he experienced. And he saw a bad situation manifest in front of him. And he, I guess, that humbled him and brought him back down. Like, ooh, you know,
yeah.
I'm witnessing what I potentially could be getting myself into.
Oh, yeah.
And then that made him go into the retreat stage. And then he even told me, he was like, I had to meditate. That's what I did. That's how I handled it. And that helped me get a better grasp on, you know, who I am as a person,
mm-hmm.
you know, strip away this pain and, you know, the marks on me, just like heal those, you know, wash it away, just heal it. Like give yourself time to, you know, nurture yourself. It's okay. Like have compassion to yourself so you can have compassion for others.
Right.
And,
but you always got to go back to that healing phase.
Exactly.
Once you have any sort of like deep emotional scars,
mm-hmm.
you don't put it in the closet.
Right.
You gotta keep working at the healing.
And it's sad that we're usually encouraged to repress it.
Like, we are encouraged to repress it.
You know, it's kind of, you know, you see people who are, you know, I definitely agree with like the whole law of attraction and, you know, positive thinking and things like that. But sometimes there's a lot of people who are really torn up inside that haven't been given the opportunity to really express it and talk about it. So, you know, they go about society and, you know, their day to day just being like, okay, I've got to put on an entirely different mask of what's really going on inside of me. And, you know,
that's a dangerous thing. If it's not dangerous for society, it's dangerous for what's going on inside of you.
Right.
It's a dangerous level of stress.
Yeah. And they say, you know, a lot of men, you know, I have a lot of empathy for, you know, some of the gender roles that go on, you know, against men, especially because I guess women, you know, according to the gender roles, you know, I think women have a ton of emotional things that, you know, we, you know, need to deal with as, you know, a whole. But then, you know, a lot of men are encouraged to not talk about their emotions because they're men, they're, you know, it's macho man, not supposed to have, you know, not supposed to be too emotional. And then you see that manifests poorly in terms of like higher suicide rates and, you know, higher incidences of heart attacks in men, you know,
we're getting deep here. You're right.
Yeah.
And that's not me. That's why every night you get a call from me at like 1:30 crying, crying like a little girl, crying like a little girl who lost her dolly. I'll admit it.
So funny.
Let's move on to the anti-heroes.
Mm-hmm.
I love the concept of the anti-hero. And the anti-hero, and we've talked about this, it's heroes that do stuff, but, like, maybe their methods are controversial. Maybe they don't mind killing somebody.
There we go again, then, into the gray areas.
Into the gray areas. You know, Batman doesn't kill. Mm-hmm. You know, but he would be, if he did, he'd be an anti-hero because he doesn't work in accordance with the law. Mm-hmm. But look at guys like the Punisher. And again, disclaimer, if you're just really into the Thomas Jane Punisher or the fucking Dolph Lundgren movie, no. Go back and read, like, the Garth Ennis material, you know? Amazing Punisher stories. Punisher is basically this war hero that comes home. He's trying to live a normal life. He was just a really great soldier. Comes home, goes to the park with his family, and crossfires between two mob families fighting it out. His son and wife and daughter get killed right in front of him. Mm-hmm. So here's this guy with these incredible, crazy soldier skills. He goes underground and becomes the Punisher. And his thing is he's going to punish the innocent. He is judge, jury, and executioner. And if you don't like it, get out of his way. First, he's going to clean up the mob. Then he goes after, you know, after the mob is taken care of, which I don't know if they ever are, especially in the comic book world, you can just keep writing more. Mm-hmm. He goes after the harder, bigger criminals. Anyway, so in the term the anti-hero, is anti-hero a good term or a bad term? Because here you are, you're saying anti-hero. Now, hero, he's a hero. He's taking crime off the street.
It's giving the illusion that you're the villain, like you're the bad guy. But are you really?
Are you really? But you're doing what we have to do. That's right. Almost like saying our SEAL Team 6 that took out Bin Laden are anti-heroes because they had to. Now, of course, they're acting according to the law, but they're killing somebody to make the world a better place. Mm-hmm. Is that really all that bad? Now, I know how you feel about killing, you know.
Yeah, but, I mean, I understand also that the law of balance applies to the universe and the world. It's not only within. And, you know, I mean, my personal purpose in life is not to kill, but if someone else's is, I believe that things can't be contained within, like, a set law system. And right. That's, you know, like, anti-dogmatic. You know, it's just like, why do you have to follow some rigid set of rules? And, like, I don't know, it just kind of takes you away from the real essence of life, you know?
You're right.
Yeah.
Well, let me ask you this. Okay. I bring a 5-year-old child in here. And I say, in 25 years, this guy is going to kill, this kid's going to kill 40 people, 40 innocent people. I put a gun in your hand. Can you take care of, can you take that kid out?
No.
You can't do it?
Remind me of Looper.
Okay.
Yeah, no.
Okay. Okay. Now, I bring a 30-year-old man in here. He's got a bag over his head. I tie him to a chair. I say, listen, this guy is going to escape in 5 minutes. He's already killed 15 people. He's going to kill another 15 people by the morning. Here's a gun. Can you shoot him? Can you do that?
Maybe.
You're not going to jail.
Maybe.
Really? Really? Well, will your conscience allow that?
I mean, I don't know. I have to see how I feel. Like, I don't know. I like to follow my intuition a lot.
All right, I'm going
to
get this guy, okay? Because he's outside.
Oh, gosh. No.
If you hear a gunshot in this podcast, you know how. No, you hear a gunshot, then my body fall down, and then Jen be pissed that I asked, you know, put her in that situation.
Don't worry about it.
Yeah. All right. Well, I'm just curious about the term anti-hero. I think
it is misleading, to answer your question.
There is, because there's a few anti-heroes, and I don't want to go on this podcast super long, but because we talked so long about the DC characters, but if you look at Wolverine started off as an anti-hero, and he really is. I mean, he's somebody who's like, I don't care about, I just want to take care of myself. Mm-hmm. I will fight my enemies and do what I have to do, but I need to live. Look at Deadpool, which maybe you don't know who Deadpool is, but he's just like Wolverine. He's wisecracking. Very funny. I got to introduce you to Deadpool sometime. Mm-hmm. The Punisher. Mm-hmm. Venom from Spider-Man is sometimes an anti-hero. I love these guys because I think that maybe, you know, there's a redeeming quality about them. You may not agree with their methods, but that's life. You don't agree with everybody's methods in life, you know, but you have to respect the good they do.
Right, exactly. And I think that's what it kind of boils down to in a lot of facets of life, is that just because we don't personally adapt it into our own selves, like we don't assimilate it into our own personal self-concept, doesn't mean we should always judge others and what they do. It's, I mean, just kind of live your life not feeling the need to judge something so harshly when you don't really have too much control over it.
No.
And you can't, you know, just don't get caught up in harsh judgment.
You know, if you're one religion, if you're in a church and you're one religion, you look across the street and you see a church that's a different religion, and they're having a charity drive to help the homeless. Do you look at them and say, man, I wish that church would burn down and all of them in it? Or do you appreciate that they're doing something to help the greater good?
Yes, we appreciate, yeah.
You know what I'm saying? So you don't have to agree with somebody's methods or what they believe in or why they're doing it. You just enjoy the results. And I think that's something about, that's just in general in life. Generally in life, if people are doing something that has good results and they're not hurting anybody, let it be.
Right.
Let it go.
Let it go.
Let it go.
Let it go.
Yeah, let it go. Don't let your pride of what you believe in get so deeply entrenched in you that you can't appreciate,
right,
you know, another part of humanity.
Yeah.
All right. Mm-hmm. Well, I think that's a good point to talk about this. I got to talk about video games for a second.
Okay.
This is a video game podcast.
Woohoo!
I know. First off, you took a bunch of pictures. I got to say this. Mm-hmm. Wearing some shirts that are going to be for sale on the website soon. I'm so lazy. Life has been in the way. I haven't put them up for sale yet. They will be soon. But you are the model.
Yeah.
And you're on my Instagram a bunch. Anybody follows at AvidGamerWear on Instagram, you can see Jenny and her beautiful smiling face. But we took a bunch of pictures of the shirts. You know, no problem. And I got to talk about video games. You're not a big gamer, though. You kind of have the urge and the itch to play games, but I don't think you have the pay. I know you don't have the patience to buy a system, to pick a system out.
Oh yeah.
Right now, I'm playing the big one, Grand Theft Auto 5.
GTA
5, which is, you know, it's a great game. It's an open world sandbox game. I don't got anybody listening knows what GTA is about. You can do anything. But here's something funny I thought about this. My morality system goes into my character. Like, I'm not just going to walk into the street and kill somebody because I want their car. So it's hard for me to do that in a video game, in a digital world.
Right.
You know, in a lot of games, you have choices. Like, a lot of games, RPGs, you can say, oh, I can, you know, you have like a dialogue wheel of how you want to respond to stuff. Mm-hmm. And I always pick the neutral stuff or the positive response because I'm just not that kind of a person. Mm-hmm. So I always laugh at the psychology of that. I play games like I'm me. I don't play games like I'm some crazed, you know, thug or something. I have a hard time with that.
That's
good. That's good. Yeah, I want the achievements. I want to enjoy the game fully. But I'm playing this now, but next week, Batman Arkham Origins come out. And oh, do I get so excited for Batman Arkham Origins. You're going to have to play with me. I'm going to make it. It's going to happen.
Excited.
Yeah, it's going to happen. It's set before Arkham Asylum, which was a major game of the Batman franchise. Mm-hmm. All the major players in the Batman world or in the Bat world are in it, and they're going to be in this game too. So Bane and the Joker and Riddler and Deadshot, all these folks are going to be in it. It's going to be amazing. It looks great. So
check out the commercial.
Oh, the commercial just came out of Bruce Wayne getting beat up all through his life, and then he becomes Batman. He's taking punches and just, you know, soldiering through it. Man, that's such a fucking great time to be a gamer.
Yeah.
Yeah, and the Xbox One's about to come out. Man, I'm going to buy you one of those. I'm just going to be like, screw this, Jenny. Happy November.
Nice.
Mm-hmm.
Hit the jackpot.
Yeah, so that's my game talk. I'm sorry I just filled this up with comic book talk, but you know what? It's my podcast.
Hopefully
I can do
what
I want.
Appreciate, yeah.
Well, there's so much crossover between gaming and video games and comic books and sci-fi.
And life.
And life that you can just sit back and listen to me talk or Jenny, who's way more articulate than me, talk, you know?
No.
Yeah, so anyway, hey guys, listen, I'm going to throw a couple shout-outs out for me. One is, I have a Instagram, please follow, it's at AvidGamerWear. You can see Jen, I always let her beautiful face in it, because I know what the boys like, you know, and, let's see, at AvidGamerWear on Twitter, I like to tweet dumb jokes and stuff I think is funny, which are usually dumb jokes, and, find the Avid Gamer page on Facebook and just like it, or just go to AvidGamerWear.com and buy a shirt. I appreciate it, and keep this going, because Avid Gamer is a brand for us gamers and nerds and geeks, and something for us all to be a part of, and we're all geeks and nerds inside.
On the rise. Yeah, we gotta embrace it.
You gotta love it.
Yeah.
Geeks make the world go round.
Oh yeah, definitely.
That and centrifugal force. Mm-hmm. You know, which, if you know that, you're a geek. And grabby, yeah. So, anyway, Jen, thank you so much for being on the podcast.
Thank you for having me. me.
You are the most awesome person in the world. And
awesome.
Thank you for listening. And Jen will be back on again real soon, probably the next 7 in a row if I can get her, because she's so amazing. And hey, thanks for listening, and I'll talk to you later, okay?
Bye.
Bye-bye.